A little boy came home from Sunday school and told his family that the Sunday school teacher must be Jesus' grandmother. What made him think that, they wondered. Well, he explained that she had to be Jesus' grandmother because she spent a whole hour just talking about how wonderful he was and showing them a lot of pictures of him. She wasn't his grandmother, but she was definitely being an ambassador, like he calls each one of us to be. So, first talking about ambassadors and how they're sent to represent. When we were at the motel this week, they had the National Post to pick up, and so the article was about the new state visit and contrasting the Michel Jean, our current Governor General, with Adrian Clarkson, a previous one, and just kind of the style of visit that they do. But the intent is the same. An NDP MP who was critical in the past of the amount spent on some of these visits says the Governor General undertakes state visits on behalf of Canada. That's kind of what an ambassadorial role is. Prime Minister Harper says the official purpose of the trip that Michel Jean is taking to Africa is to, quote, reinforce the image and understanding of Canada abroad. So in that sense, they're taking something of Canada with them. They're being reinforcing Canada's image and understanding of Canada. CUSO executive director said there's a strong symbolic value in Canada's Governor General visiting Africa. So these are some kind of things involved in being an ambassador in a foreign country. One of the speakers at the Billy Graham School of Evangelism was Gary Cobb. He said he asked an ambassador once about their role, and the ambassador said, basically, my job is to make friends in a foreign land. To make friends in a foreign land. That's what an ambassador is about. So as we return to our scripture passage in Ephesians 6 there, you see Paul talking in verses 19 and 20 about it being a declaring, making known a message kind of a role. Verse 19, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. It is an announcing, declaring, making known role. Other places the New Testament talks about being an ambassador. 2 Corinthians 5 is about making an appeal. Paul writes, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You see there how they're acting on behalf of someone else. Acts 26, this is Jesus commissioning for Saul, who's to become Paul, being sent to spark a revolution and also have people offer reception. Jesus said to Paul, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. There's that whole being sent, like a revolution, a turnaround from Satan to God, and so they could receive Jesus. Now, the wording here in Ephesians 6 is a little bit puzzling. It says, make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador. What's this mystery business about? Usually mystery is something that's not known, kind of covered up or concealed. On Friday night at our congregational family fun night and gym night, we're back at the Lyles after, and Cody was showing us a magic trick. And it was quite, he did it very well. He was basically holding a... started off with three balls of Kleenex and then put one in somebody's pocket or that and having in his hand and put the other two balls in the person's hand and then went like that and out fell three balls of Kleenex. So where that third ball came from again was a mystery. He did it a second time and I was watching a little more closely and the mystery was revealed. Like it was a very good sleight of hand, but you could understand how it was done. So this mystery that Paul's talking about isn't one that's meant to remain a secret. It's one that's supposed to become more and more known. It's just a wonder, if you want to think about it that way, of what God has done in Christ. Colossians 1:27 says, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us. What a mystery that is, that Jesus by His Spirit can come and live inside us. We can be His people. Colossians 2 puts it in the sense of being Christ being full of hidden treasures, kind of like a gift to be unwrapped at the appropriate time. Like our shoe boxes here, they're sort of wrapped up, and they'll be wrapped even more securely after volunteers get done with them tomorrow. But the whole purpose is so that it gets unwrapped at the right time. Paul says, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And some little treasures in there that are going to make some children very happy when they get them unpacked. But if they can discover Jesus, that's a treasure that lasts our whole life and into eternity. And Colossians 4 talks about this mystery being proclaimed or broadcast. Paul says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Now, what then does our role as Christ's ambassadors involve? And these are all P's. I'm sorry I didn't get them into the bulletin. This was about 1:30 in the morning last night. I got all this done, so I didn't have time. So if you want to make any notes, they all start with P's today. First is the ambassador's perspective. Being an ambassador requires an ability to see the invisible. In the case of the Christian, the supernatural spiritual contest taking place around us. Verse 12 in Ephesians 6. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And Paul is using terminology of the day for different spiritual realms. The Gnostics would use these same sorts of terms. The powers that be in the dark spiritual world. That's who the struggle is really against. Not flesh and blood, not just people. So to be an effective ambassador requires being able to see that, not just what's visible to the eye. What did Jesus see when he looked at people? Well, their heart needs an eternal condition. Matthew 9:36 says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed. They were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. That's what Jesus saw when he looked at people. Luke 19, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Those who were lost and rejected him didn't grasp the significance of what was happening before their very eyes. Jesus could see the momentous occasion there of the triumphal entry and yet being rejected. What's really going on behind the scenes? Paul talks a little bit about 2 Corinthians 4. He says, the God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. It's a snapshot of God. But the dark one, the prince of this age, has blinded people's eyes so they can't see Christ's glory, the significance of Him. Now note the importance of prayer here. We can't come to faith on our own. We need God's enlightenment, kind of removing that veil that's covering our eyes. People won't be motivated to be Christ's witnesses until we see the gravity of the situation and our responsibility. Ron Hutchcraft was one of the speakers at the School of Evangelism, and he talked about his wife one night walking just along the ocean on the beach, and suddenly she heard this woman crying for help out in the water, and she realized that if she went for a lifeguard, it would be too late. The woman would have drowned. She said, "There are few things as scary as the ocean at night. But what was worse was listening to that woman cry for help and knowing she might drown if I didn't act." So she did dive in and found the woman, brought her to safety, and saved her life. But it was a pretty scary moment there, going into the ocean. But Ron said, "Everyone has some stretch of beach assigned to them by Jesus. We're on patrol. We should be listening for people's cries and responding, recognizing the gravity of the situation." So that's the ambassador's perspective. It's the ambassador's power. An ambassador is authorized to act on behalf of the state that sent him or her. An ambassador in an embassy, they can grant refuge. People come, flee to them for refugee status. They can enact trade deals. They're the arm of the government in that country. They're authorized to act. Similarly, for the Christian ambassador, verse 10, our strength must come from God, not our own wisdom or ability. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. That's where the power is from. Be strong in the Lord. It's a resurrection power. Paul wrote in Romans 1, Jesus, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead. That's why the empty tomb and the eyewitness accounts are so significant. That's God's stamp of approval, is authorizing Jesus in a way that proves that the power is really there. The early church learned to tap into God's power for witnessing. Acts 4, the early church is praying, saying, they, Herod, Pilate, and the Jewish leaders, did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And Luke notes that the meeting place where they were praying this was shaken. So they're tapping into God's power. The power is not our own. We are not Superman. One of the speakers told the story of, I guess, Ravi Zacharias tells it about Muhammad Ali, formerly Cassius Clay. Some of you will be familiar with a heavyweight boxing champion, not known for his humility. I guess one time he was in an airplane and they were going through some turbulence, and the stewardess came along asking people to buckle their seatbelts, and Muhammad Ali said, "Superman doesn't need a seatbelt." The stewardess replied, "Superman doesn't need an airplane. Do up your seatbelt." And he did. We are not Superman. We need God's strength. The ambassador's permanence. Verses 13 and 14 says, stand your ground, be anchored in God's truth, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, and say, if you haven't got it yet, he continues, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. So a sense of being anchored in God's truth, that's where you get a permanence. The apostles were eyewitnesses of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. They were so certain as they would rather die than lie. Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians 15, for what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. These are just a basic datum of the Christian faith. John, similarly, in 1 John 5, water refers to Jesus' baptism, blood to Jesus' death. There are some Gnostics around John's time that are saying, well, kind of the Son of God kind of came upon Jesus at his baptism, but left before he was actually nailed to the cross. So kind of an easy getaway approach to being the Savior. But John knows that that's not what happened. He says, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. It's the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. There are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. The three are in agreement. It goes on, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Get that real sense of certainty and truth. These things really happen. That's how we can know you're saved. So the ambassador's permanence, also the ambassador's protection is referred to here in verses 11 and 13. Paul says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Again, therefore put on the full armor of God, a couple of verses later. Well, the Roman outfit Paul would be quite familiar with, because Paul was closely guarded for much of his life as a Christian. He was in prison a lot of the time, sometimes actually chained to the guard, so you'd see them doing their uniform maintenance type things. He was familiar with the Roman soldier's uniform, belt, breastplate, iron-toed shoes, a 4.5-foot high shield. I don't think the artist did a real good job on the shield. Either that or it's a giant that he's trying to portray. The shield is 4.5 feet high. And a helmet. The term here is Greek panoply, which is kind of the full kit. At the funeral, they're referring to Brenda timing David putting on his full outfit, the whole kit for firefighting, and so he would be protected adequately. We need protection because we are in a kind of a precarious position. Christians are a peculiar people in the sense of we should be a little bit different, and often even stick out like a sore thumb in some circumstances. Was hearing about a Christmas party before the service at which kind of every second word was the F word, and that kind of dampened the Christmas party for the people that were attending. But we should be different from that. If we just blend in with those who aren't centered on Jesus, something's drastically wrong. We should stand out like a lightning rod. However, that is asking for attack. Verse 16, Paul mentions all the flaming arrows of the evil one. They're going to come under attack. Christ's cross makes enemies of those who are this world-centered. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. What else is there to live for but one's appetite? Just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. If that's all there is to life. And Paul continues, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't get engrossed in the things of this world, but our attention, our desire is for Jesus. Bill was sharing the other night about his experience of a Billy Graham crusade years ago at Maple Leaf Gardens, and a light bulb exploded overhead, and there's a big pow, and Billy Graham dove for cover, and Bill was saying, Billy explained afterwards, that he's trained to do that just because the nature of being in the public eye so much, he is a target. Okay, so ambassador needs protection, ambassador also has prayer. Now, this isn't so much a political sense, but you know how they have these red phones and the hotline to the home country sort of thing? So the embassy would be in touch with the homeland. Ambassadors may be recalled at any time or given new direction. Former Governor General Clarkson, here in the picture, is defending her expansive trip. In this article inside the National Post, it said, the Governor General never travels except under advice from the government. So there's that communication has to happen. Verses 18 to 20 in chapter 6, Paul says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. How many times he's asking for prayer there? Colossians 4 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. The ambassador's presentation. The job of an ambassador is to build relationships, to speak for the home country in a language others will understand. Verses 15 and then 19 and 20. By the way, this is a picture from when Eleanor Ward was in the Dominican Republic, and she happened to be there when the Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes were being delivered. So these are some kids that have just gotten theirs. Verses 15, 19, and 20 says, and with your feet fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So, a presentation that we make. Some translation may be required. Often if you're assigned to a different country as an ambassador, that'll be one of your first items on your list, is to get to know some of the language that they speak there. When we were visiting Ottawa this past week, we had a chance to visit the place where Keith's wife Darcy works, and it's right downtown, one of the university buildings. She said, you have to use the elevator because you can't use the stairs because the second floor is a secured unit because they're in the bioterrorism sector in that building. So that gave me a little more appreciation for what she does. But anyway, we got to her office. There were about six workstations there. One of the ladies looked like she was from Africa, and her name was Solange, they said. So we got very interested because we had known a Solange when we were in Congo. Anyway, so she came over, and Yvonne was talking to her, and she was kind of going, uh-huh, uh-huh. And I got looking at that, and she's not understanding what Yvonne's saying. So I broke into my rusty French, and we got along quite a bit better after that, because she was from the Democratic Republic of Congo down in the south. So, but until there was some translation, or we spoke her language, there wasn't much getting across. Colossians 4 kind of talks about starting where the person is at that you're being an ambassador to. Discern the opportunity rather than just kind of coming on like a Mack truck. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let's start where they're at. Ron Hutchcraft was emphasizing that it has to be show and tell in her presentation, and for that he drew on Matthew 5:16, where Jesus said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That saying about people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Love them in their language. Ask yourself, what need does this person have in their life? It would be a language in which they could experience God's love. So when we're packing the boxes, we're thinking, well, what might that person not have that would be a symbol of God's love for them, that they could get some enjoyment out of, and that would just, they could play with in a meaningful way. And the boxes and the aid that goes with them are a very tangible expression of God's love, a language they'll understand. Show them a difference they'll notice. Some examples, Ron Hutchcraft said that down in the States where he lives, some people don't have health coverage, like we don't have universal health care like we do here. So, for example, some Christian doctors offered a free health clinic for people that don't have health coverage. Tell your personal hope story. The blind man in John 9 said, whether Jesus is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. What Jesus had done for him, and nobody could argue with that. Nobody can argue with your own personal hope story. They can argue all day long about theology and philosophy and all sorts of excuses, but they can't argue with your story, what Jesus has done for you. So, to get at this, just complete the sentence for yourself. If it weren't for Jesus, how would my life be different? And Ron Hutchcraft suggested we pray the three open prayer. Lord, open a door. Lord, open their heart. Lord, open my mouth. Open a door, open their heart, open my mouth. Ronald Reagan was a longtime president in the United States, that he had Alzheimer's for the last 10 years of his life. And in the biography that's come out, it's noted that as the Alzheimer's progressed, there were different things that he forgot. And it's just interesting the order in which he forgot things. First of all, fairly early on, he forgot that he was a movie star. A little later, he forgot that he had been governor of California. And then closer to the end, he forgot even that he was president. But there was one thing that he remembered pretty much right until the end. In his hallway, there was a photograph of a river near where he had grown up. And he had been a lifeguard at this river. I guess there was a swimming place there. And he remembered pretty much right until the end that he had saved 77 lives at that spot. So, more important than being a governor or a movie star or a president is saving lives. And it's our privilege as ambassadors of Jesus to speak for him and to present this wonderful news of the love and the hope and the purpose he can bring in people's lives. That's good.